What's up, guys? Today we just finished taking the midterm exam. That's why we haven't been uploading lately. Sorry about that. I'm having a strong feeling that my math score is gonna suck real bad, but I'm gonna get a good score on English. Anyways, I just found out yesterday was Dad's birthday. Because Ginger and I had to study, and we didn't even notice until Mom shrieked and told us that it was Dad's birthday. We were so bummed that we forgot to make anything for him, so we spared a few minutes to make him a juice box. It turned out okay, but definitely lamer than the other ones we made. Mom felt bad about not celebrating, so she went to the nearest bakery shop and bought a loaf of chocolate-flavored bread and claimed that it was a cake. It turned out Dad didn't even remember it's his birthday. He looked so confused when we gave him the present we made. It was funny how nobody remembered, and we had a good laugh about it. The Peril by Emily John. Chapter 1. I pushed myself up slowly, trying to adjust to the darkness that surrounds me. The air feels cold and wet, like in a sewer. I can hear sounds of water dripping on the ceiling, from the ceiling onto the floor. With my whole body aching, I try to sit up but lie right back onto the cold, hard ground with a heavy thud. Then I hear the sounds of people chattering. Shh, he's up. How long do you think he'll survive? I don't know. Not long, I guess. I heard he got Jared as his trainer. Jared? Oh, he's tough. Their voices echo in the dark room. Then the light flickers on. I shield my eyes with my hands and look up at the several pairs of eyes staring down at me. I'm surrounded by teenage boys, all pointing and whispering to one another. "Get up, freshman," a boy says. "This is Arena 5. I'm Nathan Wyatt. You?" "I'm Henry." Then I'm startled for a second. "Arena? Don't worry about that. You'll eventually get used to all this. You just need to wait," he says. "Come on, let's get a bed set up for you." I sit up with a grunt, and he helps me get on my feet. I look around the room, running my hand on the cold stone walls. There's a big 5 carp deep into it. There isn't a chair in the room or any kind of furniture. Everyone is sitting on the wet ground. They're all wearing similar vests over their clothes. I follow the kid to another room. The lights turn on when we walk in. There were about 20 yellow old mattresses lying on the stone floor. There are so many mattresses crammed into a small room. There was barely a place for me to stand. Nathan reaches to the closets and opens it. He takes out a thin folding mattress that's in a big plastic bag. Then he unzips the zipper. He takes out the mattress. It's completely blocking his view. Stepping on other people's beds, he walks to the only spot without a mattress and throws it on the ground with a grunt. He unfolds it and walks back to the closet. Nathan takes out a pillow and puts it on my bed. I look at the pillows and the bed sheets in the room. They all look old and had yellow spots and weird stains on them. The thought of sleeping on them made me want to throw up. Nathan left the room, and I follow right after him. "A fight is on right now," a boy shouts. "Who's fighting?" "Dale, we'll turn on the TV. There's a small TV in the corner." I finally decided to stop hiding my confusion. "Seriously, guys, where am I?" "Save your questions later. Shut up and watch." I sigh and gather around the TV along with all the boys. It's on. I see a huge arena on the screen, with rows and rows of seats surrounding it. The arena looks like the ones where bullfights are held. There are 2 doors on the opposite side of the arena. I hear distant announcement from the PA, then sounds of people cheering. "Hey, what's happening right now?" I ask. Nobody answered. I make a face and turn my gaze back on the TV. One door slides open and a boy walks out, waving at the crowd with a confident grin on his face. I recognize him. "Isn't he the guy that was with us a few minutes ago?" Still no answer. The boys start to cheer when Dale walks out. Dale is tall and bulky. He has long brown hair that reaches down to his neck. He's also wearing the vest that everyone's wearing, only it looks a little too tight on him. He's holding a weapon, but I can't make out what it is. It looks shiny and long, probably a sword. I hear the audience cheering again, then near the door opens. A creature walks out in an awkward position. I can't see it clearly on TV, but I can tell its skin is like grayish-brown color. I can also see its long yellow claws and fangs sticking out of its mouth. All blood starts clamoring, fingers pointing at the small TV screen. Whoa, that one's big. Look at those claws. The peril I fought was like 2 times smaller than that. What's a peril? I asked Nathan. He seemed to be the only one who was paying attention to me. Nathan points at the creature on the TV. That. I still have many questions in mind, but something tells me to shut up and watch. Maybe that answered all my questions. The peril and Dale stand in front of the doors. They walked out. Then I hear a sound of bullhorn and a man sitting on the tall chair beside the arena shouts, "Fight!" They plunge forward and Dale waves his weapon in the air. The monster runs in an awkward position. It can walk normally like a human, but runs with its feet and arms like a dog. As it runs, I can hear the sound of its yellow claws scraping on the ground. Whenever they are about 4 meters from each other, they both stop and start to walk in circles. The camera closes in on the peril. Now that I see the monster clearly, I can see its left eye is smaller than the other one. It's like the right eye is normal, but you can see the black part of its left eye. The white part has completely disappeared. Just by looking at it makes me gag. It's gross. "Hey, look at that," a boy shouts, pointing at the peril's left eye. Its size is huge, but his left eye shrank. Now he has an advantage. I'm just about to ask Nathan what the boy meant by his left eye shrank when I hear the monster growling. Dale seems to be listening to someone from an earpiece. I can see one in his right ear and the wire reaching down to his waist. He stops and listens to a guy talking through the earpiece for a second, then starts walking towards the peril. He creeps behind it and walks to its left side. The peril turns around clockwise, but Dale keeps walking to his left as it turns to the right. It doesn't seem to see Dale walking beside him, though. Dale's walking right by its left side. Why isn't it noticing him? I ask Nathan. I'm surprised he doesn't seem to be annoyed by my questions. You see its left eye? He nods. He asks. I nod. It's smaller, and you can't see the white part. That means his left eye shrank. When a peril's eye shrinks, they can't see. It can only see through its right eye, so that gives Dale an advantage. Now that Nathan explained, it just seemed more disturbing to me. I see a boy looking at the clock and whispered to another boy beside him. After that, he stands up, putting on his vest. I watch in silence while he opens his locker and takes out a very little black box. It can fit in his palm, and I can see blue zippers on it. He runs out while unzipping it. Where is he going? I ask Nathan. He keeps looking at the small TV screen. Who? He asks. Then everyone starts cheering. I turn to the TV and see Dale stepping on the monster. It's lying on the ground. It seems like Dale has won the fight. Someone turns off the TV and everyone starts talking about how great Dale was. Nathan turns and asks me what I asked him. Nothing, I just saw a boy walking out, I say. He's probably going to a fight, he answers, or his trainer wants to talk about something. Just then, Dale walks back in. Dale, you nailed it, someone says. I know, Dale answers, smiling. And guess what? I'm on $2,000. Everyone cheers. My trainer is so rich. You're already at 2,000. I've only won 1,000, a boy says. I hear distant announcement over the PA. Dale walks to his locker and opens it. He takes out the earpiece and puts it carefully into the black box. Looks like the one that boy was holding earlier. Then he takes off his vest and tosses it into the locker. He slams the door and stretches his body. Hey, it's already 11, the boy says, looking at his watch. Better head to bed. Everyone starts heading to the other room with the beds, all pushing and joking around. I lie down onto the old mattress, looking up at the ceiling. After a few minutes, someone starts making funny sounds and fake snoring. I finally start to doze off and fell deeply asleep.